Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you this morning that you would give us understanding of your word. Father, that we would obey your word. Father, that we would see the benefits that your word commends to us. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're departing from our study of the book of Philippians chapter 2 because most of you know that we had it in the bulletin last week that the Synod of our Bible Presbyterian Church has called on the churches and the people in them to fast and to pray on behalf of the Bible Presbyterian Church denomination and for the Christian church as a whole. Many people, we might assume, know what fasting is and what it's all about, but that's not necessarily true. In our generation, in our society, fasting isn't a popular thing with Golden Corrals and such restaurants around. We're more into feasting than fasting. But can I tell you this morning, I want to make sure you understand, there is a time for feasting. In fact, of the seven feasts, the seven holidays that God gave to Israel in the Old Testament, six of them were about fasting, and only one of them were, six of them were about fasting, and only one of them was about fasting. I think I've messed up there. Let me try it again. I've tried twice, third time's a charm, right? Six of them were about feasting, and only one of them was about fasting. The one that was about fasting was the Day of Atonement. The rest of them dealt with feasting, and they also were not just one day. It was a week of feasting. And so, though we do not want to discount feasting, as you can look at me and see that I'm all about feasting, there's also purpose for fasting. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want to cause you to think for a moment this morning. Have you ever fasted? What is fasting? Fasting is the abstinence of food. It could be a full abstinence of food. It could be a partial abstinence of food. There are some that say, okay, I'm not going to eat dessert for a day or a week or a month. Now, the purpose of fasting is not for weight control, although you can use it for that, and that can be done. But if you think that's a spiritual issue, that really isn't. And so we want to look, in the past generations, it was a very useful practice and done. George Washington called for prayer and fasting on several occasions. In fact, many of our early presidents called for prayer and fasting. John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, Zachary Taylor, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, all called for days of prayer and fasting. Now, Governor Perdue of Georgia, who is now, I believe, I don't remember what cabinet position he holds, but he holds a cabinet position in President Trump's administration. I don't know if you remember, but a couple years back, maybe more than that, he was the governor of Georgia, and Georgia was in a very great state of drought. They had no rain for several years. And I remember seeing the pictures of the lakes drying up and all. Old Governor Perdue said, let's have a day of prayer and fasting. Well, you know the press just had a field day. They laughed and they scorned. It's interesting that after that, the drought was over. Of course, they wouldn't give credit to God doing that. But it was a very commonplace thing to do in years gone by. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see individuals praying and fasting. Esther, you remember Esther? She was going to go before the king, she was afraid for her life, and she said, call for the people to pray for 3 days before I go before the king. You remember that Elijah, he fasted after the time that he had with the prophets with Baal on Mount Carmel. You remember David, David fasted on several occasions. One that is very well known is when his son was dying. You remember when David and Bathsheba were having a son, and there was the sin of adultery there, and the Lord was taking that son from him, that David fasted while the son was alive and prayed and asked God to spare the son's life. God did not. And then they said, then after the son died, he got up and washed himself and he ate and he drank. And they said, why are you doing that? He said, well, it's over. It's time now to eat. But during that time of sorrow and of grief and even of pleading with the Lord, he fasted. He also fasted on another occasion when, remember, Saul and Jonathan were killed in one day. And Jonathan was, they said, their hearts were knit together. Jonathan and David were very close friends, and they loved one another greatly. And at the death of them, and also at the death of Saul and Jonathan, the residents of Jabesh-Gilead fasted for 7 days because of their grief on the passing of Saul and Jonathan. Daniel, we see, for 21 days fasted. Moses, receiving revelation from God, fasted for 40 days. Now, I happen to believe that that was a miraculous fast. It does say that he fasted from food and from water, but God still sustained him. Unless a miraculous occasion happens, someone cannot fast from food and from water without dying, but God, I think, sustained him there. Many might object and say, but that's of the Old Testament. How about the New Testament? Well, we see Anna, you remember in the birth narrative of Luke chapter 2, Anna, the widow, who had been a widow for many decades, fasted, they said, daily, looking for the Messiah. Jesus in the wilderness, in starting in his ministry, fasted for 40 days. The church at Antioch, seeking wisdom in ministry, in Acts chapter 13, they fasted. Paul and Barnabas, as they were about to appoint elders in the churches, fasted and prayed. Now, I want to just make a mention to you. You saw our text this morning. You recited it with us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. I want to just read that once more to remind you. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites. Now, I want to point out to you, Jesus doesn't say, fast, you need to fast, but he says, when you fast. He assumes that his followers, his disciples, are going to fast. And he tells them a way that they are not to fast. It says, don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto the men to fast. Verily say I say unto you, they have their reward. They wanted to be seen of men. They wanted people to think well of them. They wanted people to honor them. And the Lord says, okay, they've got their honor. And then he goes, but when thou fast, he expects that that's going to happen, anoint or wash thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I want the reward of the Lord. I want the blessing of God in and on my life. I want to hasten to say, and I want to make it very clear, that fasting or any other work for that matter will not save us. It won't cause God to love us any more or any less. And so fasting is not going to commend us to God in any way. But God has given us a means whereby we can lay hold on Him. Perhaps we can say that it causes us to love God more. Not that we love that God loves us more, but as we fast, it sharpens our focus, it points us to the Lord, and it causes us to grapple with Him. Now, I want to just share with you a few things about fasting. We're going to go and turn to another passage in just a moment. But I want to mention to you, have any of you, and I will ask for a response to this, how many of you have said, ever said, there's just not enough hours in the day. Anybody ever said that? Oh, I see a few of you say. How many of you said, I've not had enough time. I just don't have enough time. Can I just share with you how you can get more time? There's two ways that you can get more time. One of the ways that you can get more time is if you fast. You know why? Because you don't prepare the food, you don't eat the food, and you don't clean up after the food. So right there, you'll get more time to fast. So if you're needing time, there's your way. I will also tell you, I don't know if any of you have ever fasted, but I can tell you that time goes to a crawl when you start fasting. Anybody said, where'd the time go? Mr. Lane just said it this morning. I don't know where the 17 years have gone. Time seems to just go so quickly. But let me tell you something. If you fast, time at least seems to slow down. And so I want to encourage you that those are benefits of fasting. Well, what is fasting? I want to just give that definition. Fasting is a temporary ceasing of something that is good. All right? It is a temporary ceasing of something that is good in order to intensify our expression of a need for something greater. In other words, it's in this case, it is a matter to temporarily cease eating that we might feast in a greater way on Jesus Christ. That we might feast in a greater way on the Word of God. And so I want to look this morning at Isaiah 58. Would you turn with me to Isaiah 58? Remember that Jesus said that our Father in heaven, when He sees our fasting, when we do it aright, takes and will reward us and will bless us as a result of it. Isaiah 58 talks about this, and I want us to look there. And I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I don't know what version perhaps that you're using. We generally use the King James Version, and others use different ones. The passage Habakkuk 3 was quoted from the ESV. But whatever version you're using, I'm going to ask that you follow along. But I could spend a lot of time here this morning explaining to you what these verses mean, but I think if I read them from, I'm going to be reading this morning from the New Living Translation, I think that the explanation will be self-evident. So I'd ask that you follow along, and I think that you'll be able to do that as we and give you a better understanding of the text. Reading God's Word from Isaiah 58, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you didn't even take notice. I will tell you why, I responded. It's because you are fasting to please yourself. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. Verse 5, you humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is that what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? Verse 6, no, this is a kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn. Your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I am here, He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Verse 10. Feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. I'm going to stop there. As we look at this text of Isaiah chapter 58, I'm reminded of the text in Matthew chapter 6 where he says, you know, fast in a right way. I think he was referring to Isaiah 58. They weren't fasting in a right way. And it gives us right there the unrighteous fast. And it was that they could be seen. It was that, and while they were fasting, they were arguing and fighting with one another. It says that it's to please yourself. You oppress your workers. Folks, in the past I have fasted at times, and I could tell you that when you get hungry, you become grouchy. Let me rephrase. When I become hungry, I become grouchy. And God says that's not a pleasing fast. That's not what I'm looking for. And if you look at the text, and I'm not going to go verse by verse, but you see that the right fast in the midst of the fasting is serving and is sharing. And so when we go into a fast, when we start to fast, when we deprive ourselves something that is lawful in order to lay hold on God, we ought to be in the process of serving and sharing. And let me tell you something, whether you're fasting or not fasting, can I tell you that the best way to walk in the light, to walk in the Spirit, is to be sharing and to be serving other people? The worst thing that a person can do is become self-focused, looking at what I want, what I need, what is good for me. And the text there tells us that he says that you're seeking to serve yourself. You're seeking to please yourself. And so that is the wrong fast. We see that the right fast is serving and sharing. The right fast is God-centered, not man-centered. It is to please the Lord. It's not to please us. But I want to look at 10 things this morning very quickly at the benefits of fasting. The benefits of fasting. We're going to start at verse 8. The first few verses have told us not, and I'm switching back now to the King James. In verse 8, it says, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning." When you fast aright, when you serve, when you share, during that fast, you see that your light shall break forth as the morning. In the text that we read, it says that you will be saved in the morning. But light has to do with understanding. Light has to do with salvation. Light has to do with wisdom. Light has to do... Have you ever been sick at night? I don't know about you, but when I've been sick and I'm sick at night, it seems that can I just get to the morning? Can I just get to the light? It seems like in the darkness it's just so much longer. But he says that when we fast aright, that our light shall break forth as the morning. Secondly, look what it says. It says, "And thine health shall spring forth speedily." Now, folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, this is not only from a biblical perspective, but from a science perspective and a medical perspective, there are physical benefits to fasting. But that is not the primary goal or purpose of fasting. The primary goal of fasting is to lay hold upon God. The primary goal of fasting is to deny ourselves so that we're not focused on this, but we're focused on the eternal and that which is important. Thirdly, it tells us that our righteousness, "and thy righteousness shall go before thee." And we see that, I believe, that as we fast, we become sensitive to sin. We become sensitive to sin. And we confess our sin. And we see that in the Bible characters that we looked at, that they were confessing their sin and getting right with God. Look at number four in the next verse there. It says that the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. The glory of the Lord. And what is the glory? I believe that it's talking there about the manifestation of the glory of God. You remember Moses when he was on the mountain, what he told God? He said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. If you'll remember in Numbers where we have what's called the Aaronic blessing, it says, may your face shine upon me. That we would know the glory of God, that we would bask in the glory of God, and that we would see the glory of God. Fasting brings that. Number five. In verse 9 it says, then shalt thou call upon the Lord, shall answer. Thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Is that not a blessing? To know that God will answer our prayers. That God will answer our prayers. Number six, it tells us there that he says, and he shall say, here am I, the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. The scriptures tell us of an occasion where somebody said, it was Moses. He says, take everything from me, just let me know that you're with me. Just let me know that you're with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. As we fast, God has promised, if we do it aright, that we will know the presence of God. Number seven, if you'll look, it says, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking of vanity, there he's talking about the fast that's not to be. And if thou draw out thy soul, verse 10, to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, he's repeating what he said in earlier verses, if you serve and if you share, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. The idea there is that God will guide. That God will guide. Folks, do you not want the guidance of God? Do you not want His direction? And so He promises that in the fast that there will be clarity and there will be direction given. And then we go on and He says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, there it is even more plainly, and satisfy thy soul in drought. Satisfy thy soul. You know, we have been in a drought. We still are in the drought. Did anybody notice the smoke in the air yesterday? Charles was telling me how his wife was choking on the. It was even worse, they tell me, in the south end of town than in the north end of town. We are in dryness. We are in drought. If you look at the parking lot, even with people driving on it, it's usually green and lush and all. It's dead if you haven't noticed. It's flat out dead. We are in drought. Somebody was just telling me the other day that they were having problems with their well. They said there's one of three problems. They said either the water's gotten so low that we're not don't have the water there in the well, or there's a hole in the pipe, or that the motor itself wasn't working. She says, I hope it's just that it's gotten too low. And I said, no, that's not my choice. My choice is a hole in the pipe or because when the water's gone, it's gone. What do you do? And here it says that it will satisfy thy soul in the drought. Reminds me of the passage that Emma recited to us this morning, that though there be no cattle, though there be no fruit, though there be no produce, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And here it says that as we fast, that He will satisfy our souls. He will make provision for us. And then if you go on in verse 11, it says, and make thy bones make fat thy bones and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of waters whose waters fail not. And here we have restoration. I think of that passage again of Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He gives us strength like a watered garden, a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then lastly, we see there in verse 12, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Number 10, we will be useful. We will be useful. Let me ask you a question. Is your desire to be used of the Lord? That's my desire. I want to hear when I stand before God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Now, I want to reiterate once again, we're not saying that we're to be on a continual fast. I think fasting is the exception rather than the rule. I think that we are to be feasting and rejoicing in the Lord. But there are times when a fast is appropriate. Why is it that the synod of our Bible Presbyterian Church has called on the church to fast and to pray? And that is because we live in dangerous times. That is because we live in difficult times. And you know what? Even preachers and elders have sin in their lives and need to be rid of those sin. And so I want to quickly summarize. So why do we fast? And we fast so we can focus on the Lord. We've said some of the advantages or some of the results that God has promised us. But why do we fast? We fast so we can focus on the Lord rather than on the everyday things of life. It humbles us. Fasting humbles us. In Psalm 35:13, the psalmist says, I humbled myself with fasting. Do you remember King Ahab? I trust you remember King Ahab. He was a wicked king. He was a wicked king. You remember who his wife was? Jezebel. They were wicked king and queen. And Elijah went against him, and Elijah told him that God was going to judge him. And it says in 1 Kings 21, verse 27 and 29, we won't turn there, but it says, see how Ahab humbled himself before me. And he says, so I will not judge him in his time, but in the time of his son. And so as he humbled himself with fasting, God gave at least a temporary blessing. Fasting is a humbling thing. Can I remind you what the result of humbling ourselves is? Do I need to remind you? In Matthew 23, verse 12, in James chapter 4, verse 10, and 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, he that humbles himself will be exalted. And so fasting is a part of our humbling ourselves before the Lord. And God says that he that humbles himself will be exalted. I've already said time goes slower. I've said talked about less time for preparation. And then as a result, we have more time for prayer and listening to the Lord. When the church at Antioch was looking to send out missionaries, you know what they did? They prayed and fasted. Who should we choose? Where should they go? They prayed and they fasted for that. And look who they came up with, Paul and Silas. And churches were established. Paul went on 3 missionary journeys. God used him in a wonderful way. We have, humanly speaking, the New Testament because of Paul's missionary journeys, who established churches and then wrote the books of the New Testament to those churches. Hunger reminds us of our need, causes us to be focused on prayer and the situation. It reminds us that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As Jesus quoted in his temptation when he was fasting for 40 days, it heightens our senses. Let me tell you something. As you fast, the Word of God comes alive. Things jump out for the pages that you would never have noticed with a full belly. It makes us more sensitive to the voice of God through the Scriptures. It makes us more sensitive to our sin. And it makes us aware of our weakness. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 42. Psalm 42. It was significant, providential, that for the offertory, they played the song that is based on Psalm 42. As the hart or as the deer pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That's the purpose of fasting, that we might pant, that we might desire, that we might thirst after God. And that desire is intensified even as we fast. Psalm 44, verses 3 through 7, I won't read them there, but it says in verse 3, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. And brother, sisters, can I remind you that what we accomplish is not in our own strength. It's not by our own abilities, but it is the ability and strength that God has given to us. Our desire, our strength, our wisdom comes from the Lord. Now, folks, remember when we began, we said that it's a temporary cessation of that which is good in order for something that is better. And that better is the Lord. That better is understanding Him and seeing that He is God. There are those, as we've already said, that fasted for 40 days. There are those that have fasted for 7 days. There's those that have fasted for 21 days. There are those that have fasted for 3 days. You can fast as little as one meal or a partial meal. I'm not going to eat dessert or thing. That we would deny ourselves in order to seek the Lord. And can I encourage you to start small? Don't say, I'm going to fast for 40 days. You won't make it. I'm going to fast for 3 days. You won't make it. How about a meal? Just, I'm going to deny myself of a meal. I'm not going to eat lunch. I'm not going to eat dinner. I'm not going to eat breakfast. And I'm going to take that time and utilize that time that you would normally use in preparation and eating and cleanup to seek the Lord in His Word, in prayer, seeking the Lord. Folks, as we looked at those 10 things that God has promised that when one fasts aright, that He would give to us, I believe that ought to be motivation to us to seek a long-forgotten practice. Remember, Jesus didn't command it, but He said, when you do it. I want to encourage you, people of God, to know the blessing of God, even through fasting. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful that our righteousness does not commend us to You. We're thankful that even our actions do not commend us to You, but that the blood of Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed on the cross for us, is what commends us to You. But Father, You have given us instruction of how we might seek Your face, that we might deny ourselves, and that we might find Your blessing. We give You thanks and praise, Lord, and we ask You that You would lay it on our heart that even this day, this week, that we would take time to pray and to fast on the behalf of our local church, of our presbytery, our denomination, of Christians that are all over the world that are even suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're reminded that many of the Christians around the world that have nothing take time to fast. They have nothing. Lord, help us that have much to take time to focus on You, to focus on Your Word, that we might know You are right. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.